everyone. Welcome to episode 5 of the Power Pod. We are 4 rounds into the PWR season and some teams are really starting to show their colours.
Yes, it was return of the maul for many teams in round 4 as the Big Red Roses guns stepped back into club action.
We'll run through all of these results, we'll preview what's to come in round 5 and we'll address the huge Alona Mar to the PWR rumours.
Oh, yes, we will. We'll also hear from Susie Appleby at Exeter and we'll reveal this week's Power Play. That's Philippa Tuttiot, I'm Nick Heath, and this is the Power Pod. How are you, Phil?
Very well, thank you. Actually, I should say hola, Nick.
Oh, because you've slipped away to foreign climes, haven't you?
I have, man. Those winter nights, they came too quick. I need some sun before I bed in for the winter.
This is from the woman who's getting me up at 6 in the morning. I mean, really?
Yeah, that's it. See, if I'm getting up at 6, I need to be in the sunshine.
Okay. Well, I hope you're having a lovely time. A little cerveza just to relax over the course of the week.
Oh, dos. I don't know what the word for multiple is in Spanish, but I'm just going to say 2.
So just 2 then.
Yeah, just
excellent.
2 wild me.
Good. She's a crazy cat. All right. Well, we have tons to get through, as usual. And look, the pod has been inflating week on week. So we're going to do our best to keep it a little trimmer. The first thing we're going to do is get into the review of round 4. So let's do that with the first game, which was Harlequins 22, Loughborough Lightning 19. 7 tries were scored at the Stoop, with the home side bagging the all-important 4. 18 phases for Karis Phillips, with Quinn's try just after the hour from inside their own half. Amazing. A decent showing for Beau Westcombe-Evans, who played 19 minutes, made 73 metres off 6 carries and scored a try. And a shout for Ellie Kildon's wonder try. End-to-end score. Even Loughborough Lightning head coach Nathan Smith said even he'll be interested in our review as he's not sure how they lost this one. It was one of those where a lot of the stats were in favour of the visitors. Looking at how well some of the senior players were coming back, like Sir Rachel Malcolm, Emily Scarrett, Helen Nelson, Daisy Hibbert-Jones. She's been there toiling away a little longer. I thought Helen Nelson looked all right. Rachel Malcolm playing 6, 9 carries, 9 metres, 2 tackles in 42 minutes. Doesn't suggest she was massively putting herself about. Emily Scarrett playing 13, 11 carries, and according to Oval Insights, 0 metres.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, look, there were some errors. Emily Scarrett with the attempted wide kick pass, which fell straight into Lisa Neumann's bread basket, and she ran that in for a try. There was the Ellie Kildon wonder try that we've mentioned. Look, it reminded me a little bit of the Stacey Flula try in that Rugby World Cup final, New Zealand against England. Emily Scarrett, on that occasion, was the last defender further out to the right. There was no Lydia Thompson. And, you know, scanning the players across the field, wondering if she's got a hold because there was going to be a cut back, a switch back inside. But actually, you know, the pace on the outside did it. And it was quite similar. This time, it was Chrissy Schofield who was on the outside of Emily Scarrett. Was the communication there? Is this a bit of a new partnership? It just didn't go right again. And look, all credit to Ellie Kildon. It was a super try. We know Emily Scarrett is a world-class player. She will be better than that next time. But it just felt a bit like a game where a few that you might expect to be on it perhaps weren't, Phil.
Yeah, I think we were all looking at those superstars and the impact they could make. But, you know, it is a balancing act for coaches, isn't it? Because you bring all those players back in, they're not going to be up to speed in everything that Loughborough Lightning have done so far. And there's been a lot of learning for Loughborough Lightning. So, you know, maybe some of those players feeling a bit of pressure and then trying to force it. And, you know, whenever you try and force anything in a sport, it's not going to come off. But, you know what, I can totally see why Nathan Smith was frustrated. I mean, you look at the stats, and don't get me wrong, this is where stats tell the wrong story, because Loughborough Lightning had more possession, they had more territory, they beat more defenders, they made more carries, they made more metres, they missed less tackles, they made less penalties, they made more line breaks. But we know when the stat plaque comes out, the only stat that's important is that one at the very, very top that says the scoreline. And look, to the very dying seconds that Ellie Kildon try, you know, they were leading. Loughborough were leading the game. So it's a tough loss, but a humbling loss. And hopefully Nathan Smith can, you know, the only way is upward from here. A lot of learnings from that game. All right, so the next game was Exeter Chiefs 36, Trailfinders 25. Trailfinders scored first through the maul with Christina Blanco. It took until 26 minutes for Exeter Chiefs to score with Sabrina Pullen, and until 47 minutes to get their noses in front, from where they scored three tries in 10 minutes, two of theirs also driving mauls. Abby Dow and Julia Shell, tries for Trailfinders made it a four-point game before Chiefs put the cherry on the cake with a Laurie Kramer try.
Yeah, not the most illuminating game, I think is how I'd describe it. It was very stop-start, which was a comment also shared by Claudia McDonald and Emily Tutosi, who were on commentary during the live stream. I really enjoyed that. Not necessarily the most polished, you know, partnership of lead commentator and co-commentator, but actually two people who know each other very well, having a fantastic time, giving us great observation on their teammates, their players. It was different. It was refreshing. I enjoyed it, which makes it sound like I've just scored someone on Strictly.
And I feel like you were the really nice judge as well. No, I agree with you, though. It is so good, isn't it, to hear players' insights, because they will literally say it how it is, but they'll give you those little nuggets of what players are like behind the scenes or things that have happened that, you know, we don't always get insight to. So, yeah, I echo what you're saying in regards to the game. Once again, I think we saw some Trailfinders attack. They are really potent in attack, but it was, I think we mentioned it last week on the pod, it's what do you do when Exeter take you to the grind, you know, when they stifle you, have you got an answer? Unfortunately, Trailfinders didn't. 19 penalties as well for Trailfinders. That's not going to help them moving forward. They got to be a bit cleaner than that.
Yeah, they do. Okay, Sale Sharks 10, Bristol Bears 57. Bristol enjoying themselves, I think it's fair to say. Seven different try scorers, five of them returning internationals, including a brace for Jazz Joyce Butchers, who was phenomenal. Two tries, 230 metres, 23 carries, eight defenders beaten. Unsurprisingly, that makes her the PWR Player of the Week. Sale only managing two tries to Neve Swales and Scarlett Fielding. The moral of the story here is if you allow the Bears that much time and space, then they are going to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, certainly will. And it was that game plan. You know, we talked about after that Saracens defeat, do they need to change that ball in hand, wanting to play? Well, look, they've proved a point, haven't they, against Sale. Making the most passes out of any team again in that round, only kicking four times as opposed to Sale's 13, forcing Sale really to try and kick, not on their terms. They were trying to relieve pressure. So yeah, well done, job done. Top points.
Yeah.
Bristol keep on rolling.
Sale also made the third highest amount of tackles in round four. So that is, you know, testament to the effort they were having to put in to chase those Zippy Bears all over the field.
Zippy Bears. I wonder if that's going to catch on. Okay. Saracens 49, Gloucester Hartbury 38. What a game. Mm. Oh my gosh. If you haven't seen this, please go back and catch it up. It was awesome. So Gloucester Hartbury opened the scoring through Mackenzie Carson with Emma Singh converting the try. Singh also scored 5 minutes later. Gloucester Hartbury up by 12 points in 12 minutes. Saracens, though, then they score 21 points in 9 minutes through Bryony Field, Gabrielle Seneft and McKenley Hunt, all crossing over with Zoe Harrison converting all. She did awesome off the boot. And then second half, it was 28 points Sarri scored. Gloucester Hartbury only managed five through one try from Rachel Lund.
Yeah, that it was actually the Emma Singh score that I just thought was brilliant. There was a sort of turnover, then another turnover, then the ball spilled out. She gets hold of it, puts a little chip through, pushes Alicia Corrigan over for good measure on her way through, and actually does really well to score it. I really enjoyed that one. So yeah, Sarri's just found a way through despite being behind and all that pressure. There was just a quality about them getting back into that game to just take it by the scruff of the neck second half that I thought sends a bit of a warning to a lot of the teams around the PWR. We should give a mention to Leanne Infante. We hinted towards it last week, and yeah, 100 caps for the club, just beautifully crowned as she steps away from the game. An 11-year career, premiership winner with Aylesford Bulls in 2017 before it became Harlequins. Aylesford Bulls won the Premier 15s with Quins then in 2021. 57 England caps after a debut in 2013 against South Africa. Yeah, Richmond, Bristol, also on the playing log. Yeah, she's had a great career. And she's been making that transition across to an accountancy career. So we wish Leanne Infante the very best.
Oh, absolutely. And what a way for her to finish on a high as well. Like, really top of her game. She was a point of difference for me against Bristol. Her gnarliness, her ability to get into players, to bring that tempo, bring that quick tap. Yeah, awesome career. Enjoy your rest. You've deserved it.
But as we say goodbye to one player, are we saying hello to another?
Yes, so Alona Ma, everybody knows her name. Are we going to be getting to know her a little bit better? Right, look, before we go into the preview round five, you've probably seen the headlines going around on social media. She is the biggest rugby star, certainly if you're looking at her numbers on her Instagram. Oh, they make me sweat. Like, how? That's amazing. Instagram, TikTok, she is all over them. And the USA Seven star, Queen Alona Ma, has been rumoured to be joining PWR. It was reported by Charlie Morgan in The Telegraph a few days ago. Apparently the word is Bristol Bears, maybe even Gloucester Hartbury, have been in talks. Nick, I know you've been doing some digging. I am so interested in this. What is happening?
Yes. So come a little closer, everybody. I've been looking through the rules and regs, and contact has been made by both clubs, from what I understand, each finding out what might be possible. I think Bristol have said that Gloucester Hartbury are probably closer. Gloucester have said, well, you probably want to talk to Bristol. They're probably in front. So they're both bringing each other into this. There was actually also a rumour from the USA side when I contacted someone there that Harlequins were also in the mix, even earlier than these two West Country clubs. But look, let's just be sure about one thing. What team and what league wouldn't want a player of Alona Ma's talent, personality and social status in their ranks? You know, she brings an awful lot to it. Even if you're a team in the league that hasn't recruited Alona Ma, you know that the eyeballs are on that game when you're playing. It's good overall, right?
Oh, absolutely it is. I mean, just well, look what happened with the Olympic Sevens. USA get the bronze. And then all of a sudden, millionaire comes out of nowhere, Michelle Kang, and goes, I'm just going to give you another $4 million to aid your Olympic dreams. Obviously, they've got the home Olympics 2028 in LA to try and get that gold medal. Now, did she see that USA got bronze on the news? Or was one of her circle, friends, family, does she follow Alona Ma? You just don't know. But that is the reach. That is the potential that she could have. And, you know, PWR still don't have a title sponsor. You know, having a draw of a player like that, that's going to be on your little presentation of why you should sponsor our PWR. Her face is going to be on that. So, Nick, tell me now, because I have no idea about what goes beyond, you know, in behind the scenes, the contracts, the official side of things. How does a foreign player even come to the PWR?
Yeah, well, this might be the issue, the nub of it. Let me enlighten you too. The governing body endorsement criteria for rugby sports people under the international sportsperson route and employed by a club and Premiership Women's Rugby. It's a nice wow. Mouthful, isn't it? Basically, the official sponsor visa route that is the authorised way for someone like Alona Ma, who has no British heritage. You can't come here on that basis. Dutch heritage, but not British. The official documents state, the migrants applying to come to the UK under the international sportsperson route need to be sponsored by an organisation that has an international sportsperson sponsor licence. The RFU have that. They oversee players in England, so that's all good. Now, the key rule on eligibility for someone like Alona Ma is as follows. For a migrant endorsement to be awarded, the player must have played in at least one World Rugby-ranked international test match, brackets 15 aside, that's the key detail, during the 24 months immediately prior to the date of application for one of the countries listed in the top 10 of the Women's World Rugby rankings as of the 1st of July 2024. So the criteria change depending on your nation, but for the USA, who were ranked 7th in the world on July the 1st, that is the stipulation for Alona Ma. Has she played a 15s test match in the past 2 years? No, she has not. It was longer ago that she got a couple of appearances. So this could be a non-starter, I'm devastated to say, but surely the RFU and PWR have got to be thinking they'll move heaven and earth to find some clause, some extenuating circumstance to bring her in. I actually consulted another friend of mine who works on the legal side of things, knows a lot about the law and sport. And I was saying, is there anything else they can do? Quite interestingly, on the Home Office website, it says that you need to be internationally established. Now, I know that actually at Bath, Johan van Graan came in on a visa there. That was a five-year visa in order for him to be able to come over. I don't know if it was the international sports people one. It might be. They have categories for coaches and different people there. Obviously, there are things like global talent visas that people can come to the UK on. But it is also interesting to see that if you are an English player, you only have to show that you have played for England at a number of levels, under 20s, sevens, anything really. But when it comes to an international player, it has to be a lot more stringent. Can they review these regulations? Possibly. From January 2025, I think it can be under review. Are they going to get in there and quickly try and do something about this? I don't know. Is is the stand-in CEO, Genevieve Shaw, working with Conor O'Shea at the RFU? I suspect so. Look, these things are in place because this is an English league, Phil. So developing English qualified players, people who want to play for the Red Roses, has surely got to be the main source of focus for the league as well.
Gosh, that's a lot.
Yeah, sorry, I'm done. Oof,
okay. Wow. I really had no idea about any of that, truth be told. That's really interesting. And yeah, I get what you're saying about developing, but personally, I think this league, the way it's going, let's get another team in, let's make it 10, if not another three teams. We talked about the responsibility on Sale Sharks. There definitely could be a club up there to split that load. I'd prefer to be ambitious, get her in. Let's make more teams. Let's get more women playing rugby. And let's get a couple of her million followers on the sidelines. That'd be good.
Yeah, wouldn't do too badly, would it? Of course, I should give a mention as well to Women's Elite Rugby. They're launching in America in spring, the new Premiership product over there. And I found out yesterday, more than twice the number of athletes have applied to be part of it across the teams that they're getting ready to launch than, you know, they can take, which I think is fantastic. Is that going to be somewhere that Leonoir can go? I'm sure it is. Would we at the PWR, other players love to see how mixed it in the big leagues? Because ultimately, PWR has been more established from when it was Prem 15s, and it's a good pathway to getting your game up to scratch ahead of, hopefully, a Rugby World Cup next year that Ilona Maher would love to be selected for the USA Eagles. So, plenty to consider. The clubs will be looking into this, I'm sure, themselves. But Ilona Maher coming to the PWR, watch this space. All right, round five preview time then. And it comes to us this weekend with games on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And if you're looking for screen time, well, there are two games that you can watch this weekend. One Saturday, one Sunday. Friday sees fourth against fifth as Bears host Quins. The game on Saturday is the only unbeaten teams in the league, locking horns at Sandy Park, Exeter against Saracens. And on Sunday, Sale travel to the West Country to play Gloucester Hartbury, while Trailfinders are visiting Massioli Woods, Welford Road to play Leicester Tigers. It's Loughborough Lightning who have the bye this week. So take us through the first one, Philippa.
So Friday night, 7 p.m, we've got Bristol Bears against Harlequins. So this is the first Friday Night Lights game of the season, albeit at Shaftesbury Park, not Ashton Gate. Quins last beat Bristol nearly 2 years ago. It was December 2022 at the Stoop, and it was 48-14. Three tries were scored from the Mall and one Amy Cocaine, who's obviously now no longer with them. She's up in the Midlands playing for Leicester Tigers.
And likely to be back this weekend, we may touch on. Yes. Look, Bristol Quins is always a tasty encounter. I think Quins will be well up for this. I thought Sarah Parry went well against Lightning. To see her up against Phoebe Murray, I think could be quite tasty in the 13 channel. Bristol's back three was certainly given enough space last week by Sale Sharks. I made 41 carries between them. Quins are definitely going to need to shut that down. But you also can't take your eyes off the Bears forwards if you're distracted by the backs. Abby Ward, Sarah Byrne, Gabrielle Negrelli and Lark Atkin-Davis also scoring tries last week.
Yeah, Bristol really finding their form, aren't they? With those players coming back in, we've talked earlier, haven't we, about how some players coming back in and it's not looking very cohesive with Bristol. They've just slotted in, so I see them kicking on. Although we have seen an improvement from Harlequin, certainly with that defence. The top three tacklers from last round all came from Harlequins. Little shout out to Alex Callender. Awesome to see her playing for Harlequins. And I also liked that we saw Kaylee Powell in a fly half, because we talked about that, the new signing of Kaylee Powell to Harlequins. She's normally a 15 campaign nine, but I know she can cover 10 as well. They've slotted her in there. And I think she was really pulling the strings in their attack. So could be a really interesting game, this one. But I do think, especially being at Shaftesbury Park, we know that's not an easy place to go. Sarries and Exeter lost there last season. I think it was the only place Gloucester Hartbury didn't get more than two tries, actually, in that game. So it's going to be tough down there. But I do think Bristol, on the momentum they've currently got, they'll be having that one.
Okay, Saturday at 1 p.m. It's Exeter Chiefs against Saracens. Second against first. The game will be on YouTube if you want to watch it. Maybe we'll have more of Claudia McDonald and Emily Titosi. Who knows? Exeter are 18 points in the table. Saracens on 20. Since 2021, they've played five times at Sandy Park. Exeter Chiefs have won four out of five in Devon. The only victory for the Wolfpack coming in last season's round 16 game. Exeter Chiefs last week, 3.2 points per visit to the 22 against Trailfinders. That is decent. As far as Saracens, well, Alex Osterbury said he's immensely proud of the character and the mentality of his team last week, saying they were blown away in that first 20 minutes. And yeah, I think it's going to be a battle of wits, this one, between Alex Osterbury and Susie Appleby. We haven't actually heard from Susie yet this season, and well, maybe now we can. We'll kill two birds with one stone here, because we can just usher in a question that came from our power pal Tom Sims on the issue of English qualified players. And look, we sort of half mentioned them a bit earlier about Ilona Maher. Here is the question. Tom says, seeing all of the internationals returning after WXV, it reminded me of the English qualified player requirements and the penalties given to Leicester and Sale last season for breaching the average of 13 EQPs per matchday squad by the end of the season. Quins, for example, started with only one English player in the pack last week, and the internationals are brilliant and players you want to see playing, but with the chat about Ilona Maher just coming to the PWR, how does the pod feel about balancing current and future Red Roses with showcasing the best players in the world and building the best league to grow the fan base? So here is Susie Appleby, the Chiefs head coach, on how she's juggling the EQP requirement this season, but first of all, on how she thinks the Chiefs season is going so far.
Well, obviously we've won all the games, but we haven't been very good, I have to say. So what do we need at the weekend? Well, having watched that Gloucester Sarries war, physicality is going to be key, and cohesion is the thing that's been challenging for us, because we've dropped a lot of either returners or new players into the equation. And therefore, it's hard for everyone to be on the same page coming back from international representative stuff and all that kind of business. So, yeah, physicality, cohesion, and most importantly, being smart and not playing in our own 40, because teams that have played against Sarries have been guilty of that and they've come unstuck, as we have in the past. So that's what we're looking for. Reintegrating another few, hopefully. And obviously we're on a bit of a journey this season. So yeah, that's about it really. EQP is vastly improved this situation because of our ability to draw upon these injury credits. So we've got credits for Claude, Katie B, Maddie, Georgie Tasker. Obviously the first three are English players, England players, and therefore get credits automatically. But because we put Georgie on our injury credit list, when she got injured, we get a credit for her, if that makes sense, whether it be, yeah, just on club duty. So yeah, we've taken advantage of those, and therefore we're doing all right. However, obviously, when we get to playoffs, it still will affect things. But having this luxury of being able to use these credits means that you don't have to worry and you get to have a look at everyone en route to having to get your best team on the side with 13 in it. And also, obviously, if you've got injuries at that stage, you can draw upon those as well. So hopefully that all makes sense, but happy to chat about anything. Hopefully you're coming down and we get to see your face on Saturday.
Don't break it to Susie, please, that I might not be there. I don't want her ire. But so, the balance of EQP players, where Chiefs are, Philippa Tatiot.
Yeah, really interesting. Great insight from Susie, because it hasn't been the polished performance. We've talked about that, but still they've come away with the win. So, you know, that's testament to their intentions this season. They're not settling for just the points on the board. They want that performance as well. I was really interested by the credits that they were getting, the injury credits. Again, I'm that naive rugby player that just turned up and moved from cone to cone as I was told to do. I didn't know, you know, so much of this was going on behind the scenes. I think even anyone who'd never seen a rugby game before would have watched that Saracens Gloucester Harbury game and gone, wow, this is physical. Like, you didn't need to look at the stat pack. So that is going to be the target for Exeter, is not only matching that physicality, but how you try and prevent Saris from getting that roll of momentum. Because, you know, you just see it coming, don't you? There's a sense of inevitability about it. As soon as they can get that front foot ball, they literally, I mean, they've got all the superstars and they just thrive in that environment. And that's going to be the challenge, is trying to keep that at bay.
I also think the mentality of those Red Roses sorts of players that you have in these teams, not to say that they don't have enough in either, but if you're used to doing it with the Red Roses and a white shirt on your back, we've got the ball, we're coming onto it at pace, we're rolling around the corner, you just go, well, you have muscle memory here and you score tries. So yeah, I think that is something that any teams that face these sides packed with Red Roses has to contend with. Okay, should we move on to Sunday then? The first of two games, a 2 o'clock kickoff. That is Gloucester Harpry against Sale Sharks, third against ninth. Gloucester winning two out of the four they've played, losing to Bristol and to Saracens. They've not lost two in a row in two seasons. That has already happened. Sale haven't won a match this season, and we know Kingsholm is a difficult place to go. I'm actually going to bring in one of our Power Pals who has a question here. Power Ranger Brad, PWR Ranger Brad, also on socials on that nickname, love it, was asking, will this year's PWR be decided by the missing international players from the first three rounds? Given the short number of games that people drop, the points that teams can drop, it was a really tight season last season. I'm inclined to think that these first three games of the season that we've had are going to play quite a part.
Yeah, inevitably, you know, look at the points difference. I mean, Saracens have done so well, haven't they? Getting maximum points. And Alex Osterbury, you know, talked, like many of the coaches have, about the fact that they are going to have to cycle players. Not every player is going to be able to play. So to be able to secure that many points so early on kind of gives them a little bit of breathing space. But look, I don't think, you know, we need to panic when it comes to Gloucester Harpry. They're sitting third, all right? They've got 12 points. They've won two, they've lost two. I think because we're so used to Gloucester Harpry being so dominant, I mean, they've only lost three games over two seasons. That's insane. And then, you know, the opening couple of rounds, they've dropped two games. So you can see why people might be going, oh God, Gloucester Harpry. But, you know, Sean Lynn, he's a cool customer. You know, he never looks flustered. And I'm sure he was, you know, he's made his plans and he was not willing, but he was well aware that they might be dropping some points in these early rounds. And it's about what they do moving forward now.
Yeah. And Sale Sharks, I guess, are going to have to be slightly wary of not a wounded animal, but a Gloucester Harpry side that are going to say, OK, we've got an opposition here who we're eyeing up 5 points against. Let's make sure we're well-oiled. Let's make sure we're accurate. Let's give them everything we possibly can so that we can keep bouncing on through the season. So, yeah, I'd say it's going to be a tough encounter.
Yeah. So our second game on Sunday is going to be Leicester Tigers against Ealing Trailfinders. This one will be live on TNT Sports. So Tigers have lost all their matches, including conceding over 50 points against Gloucester Harpry in round one and against Exeter Chiefs in round two. Losing 17-31 in round three to Quins. They had that bye round then in round four. So a really badly needed chance to regroup as a team, do a bit of review. Now, Trailfinders have won one out of four, that victory coming against Loughborough Lightning in round two. They did not manage to salvage any league points against Exeter last week, which, oh, that's tough, isn't it? You know, all the attack they showed and not getting any points.
Yeah, I'm really pleased that this is the televised game, actually. You know, Tigers in eighth, Trailfinders in seventh. Are Leicester Tigers going to have Amy Kokane back? Yes, is the answer to that. I'm intrigued as to, you know, what they might do around the fly half position. Sarah Nicholas has been there. They might have Canadian Claire Gallagher coming back into the mix. I wonder if it's worth a little look at shifting her in there. It's going to be a bit too soon for the likes of Meg Jones to come back. I think she'll be in another round or two's time. Trailfinders, look, when you look at that side, Emma Taylor, Shia Pinnock, Annabelle Metter, Kate Zachary, all of them in that Trailfinders pack, they're really dynamic. They're skillful. I really like the balance of what Trailfinders are offering. And then, you know, backline, Julia Schell scored an absolute scorcher from 13 last week. She's super quick, another Canadian. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to look forward to in this one.
Yeah. It has the potential to be really tight. It really does depend on how well Leicester Tigers have reviewed, have they grown, have they learned coming into this game. Because when you talk about those opening rounds and how things can get away with you, there's a feeling around Leicester Tigers, they lose this now, they're kind of setting out their narrative for the rest of the season.
Yeah. So Leicester Tigers Trailfinders, that TNT Sports game is on Sunday. So to just remind you of the table, we've mentioned a couple of times, but Saracens first on 20 points. They haven't dropped a single one. Exeter Chiefs second there on 18. Gloucester Hartbury 12. Then in fourth and fifth, Bristol and Quins on 11 each. Lightning 7 points. Trailfinders 6. Tigers with 1. And Sale Sharks yet to score. Okay, the power line. Yes, your exclusive line to us and everyone else enjoying the PWR. We did have Rob back at the power line this week offering his observations on the game changer and Ross Chisholm's decision to start Abby Fleming, Alex Callender and Jade Conkle in Quinn's back row with no Nicole Wythe. I'm glad someone else is championing the Nicole Wythe cause. So well done to everyone, though, who got along to the game changer or who tuned in to the live stream.
And also, just a reminder, guys, in regards to sort of getting in touch with us, we want to know your thoughts, your feelings on the league, but also how you want us to shape this pod. You know, this podcast is for everyone that loves the PWR, and we want to make sure we're doing the games justice, we're doing the players justice, and, you know, all the fans are getting what they want from it. So please do get in touch about what you want to see, what you want to hear, how we can make this the best podcast, rugby podcast out there. Now, just a reminder, you can go old school text 07-880-716-219. You can WhatsApp us, you can voice note us, or why does it always sound sleazy, but slide into the DMs.
Well, it does when you say it like that.
But yeah, guys, please do get in touch. Let us know what you're liking, what you're not liking. There's nothing you can do about me and Nick. We are here to stay, I'm sorry. But if there's any more content you want from us, let us know.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. Okay, one question. It is time for our one question of the week. We had our one question from Zainab Alema at Tigers, and it came to Ellie Boatman. Well, Ellie has a reply for us and her own one question.
Hey guys, Ellie Boatman here. Thank you to Z for the question on what my favourite TikTok trend is. By far, I think my favourite TikTok trend is the one I filmed during the Olympics, which is the kit reveal for Team GB, dancing to the song and revealing all the outfits, which got over 10 million views as well. So that was really fun. And my question is for Maud Muir at Gloucester Hartbury. And this is because Maud is known for falling over during games, sometimes completely unrelated to the game as well. So my question for Maud is, what is the maximum amount of times that you think you have fallen over during a PWR game?
You know what? Come to say that, I do actually remember seeing a stack it last week and thinking, oh, did someone trip her? No, there was no one.
Yeah, I think she's earning a nickname, the toddler, because of her ability to just stack it. I did hear that from someone. By the way, move over, Ilona Maher. 10 million views on the TikTok trend.
Wow.
I mean, very nice.
That's
Ellie
amazing.
Boatman. But great to hear from Ellie. Our one question is bouncing its way back to Gloucester Hartbury. We will catch up with Maud Muir and hopefully get a response from her. Now, other Power Pals questions. There was one that came in from Frankie, that rugby girl, who asked, what one change would you make to make the biggest impact in women's rugby in 5 years' time? Philippa, have you had a little think about this one?
Well, I have, but I've gone a little bit too deep, and I think I might have actually gone a little bit more down your line of thought as well. Yeah, if I was thinking 10 years, then I'm thinking about players coming through high school, maybe even primary school, and I would implement touch rugby. I think it's a fantastic sport. I think it's brilliant because you can play it mixed.
You've stolen my note on our show.
I know.
Script. What is this mutiny?
But seriously, that's exactly what I would do. Is it any coincidence that Australia, New Zealand, Australia more known for their sevens, but also their 15s in their men's, and as soon as they get, you know, the support and everything behind them, that we're going to see how amazing they're going to be at 15s as well. They play touch rugby. It's an easy sport. You don't need a bunch of equipment. And it's a sport, like I say, that you can play mixed to a high level. And I really think that can be impactful long term. 5 years? No, just get a loan of Mar into the system. That'll make a couple of things change.
It will. Now, sorry, if you're hearing the beeping going off in the background, that is actually the power line going off. So I will get to that. If it's Ilona Maher calling to say that she's definitely come to the PWR, then I will update you as soon as I've checked those messages. Okay, more Power Pals questions. Chloe at the Rugby Voice asking, will you do any live podcasts like Good Scaz Rugby do currently? They are very good at that. We absolutely love Good Scaz Rugby and everything they're doing. And we've mentioned all the other podcasts out there doing great stuff. We would love to. And maybe come the end of the season, we'll all have been in your ear holes enough that you'll fancy coming to see us in real life. So that's certainly something we're looking to explore. Maybe we could sit alongside our friends at Good Scaz Rugby at something like the PWR final. Who knows? Definitely something we'd love to explore. And if you'd love to come along, then please let us know. And it's something we can look into. Okay, I think that covers off most of our Power Pals questions. Phil, any other business this week?
Lovely to see Gary Street at the Stoop, and he would have been really pleased to see Laura Keats scoring a try and having that converted by Emily Scarrett. That must have brought back very fond memories of 10 years ago.
Yes, the class of 2014. Very nice too. We also heard news. Abby Burton, after that crock roll against Loughborough Lightning, she was given 5 weeks in the end. A five-week ban was viewed as a top-end offence where the entry point is 10 weeks. Abby's conduct in the hearing, as well as inquiring on the injured player's welfare on the day and the day after, got the sanction reduced to 5 weeks. So, yeah, sanction awarded. All of that has been dealt with. Okay, it is time for Philip. Power play.
Okay, so it's going to come probably not as a surprise to you that it involves a certain Harlequins try, because it was absolutely immense. All right, that Ellie Kildon try, how she finished that off. But my power play is, yes, that part, but it's before that. This was an entire team try, because you got to go back to think that, first of all, the forwards dealt with the driving maul legally. That's so hard to do, isn't it? They dealt with it legally. They turned over that ball. Next thing, we go to a solid score. We then see some lovely footwork from Langi Tuima. She carries, she makes some meters, quick ball, then it goes out. So it's literally, you know, all the highlight reels will show Ellie Kildon getting the ball in her hands and going. And don't get me wrong, that part was amazing. When you throw a dummy to no one, like she literally dummied the spectator to the side. There was no one there and the defense fell for it. And then she ran a score. But for me, the power play was the whole team part of that, right? It was the forwards, it was everyone doing their individual thing that allowed then Ellie Kildon to be the superstar she is on that outside edge. And, you know, seeing tries like that as well, as much as it's going to be incredibly hard for Loughborough Lightning to watch that back, you know, on social media, that does get you talking, that gets people asking questions, that's going to get people wanting to come into to the PWR and see more of that. So my power play for the entire team of Harlequins, converted and finished off by Ellie Kildon.
Very good. I almost wonder whether if Ellie Kildon sells a dummy that well to a spectator nearby, whether they just drop their drink and chips and get ready to catch the ball. It's coming to me. I better be ready. Well, thank you, Philippa. That's fantastic. Yeah. I can see the sun coming up in your exotic location. So I think I'm going to have to shut down this episode. So I don't have to put up with it anymore. But enjoy the rest of your lovely time away. And thank you for this week.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with our last of this little run, because we get to 6 weeks of the PWR. Then we've got a week off, the natural rest in the league for a week before it then returns. So one more in the round of six next week. And then we'll look forward to seeing you after a very, very short break. Cheerio. The Power Pod is a Level production produced by Caleb Matomba.